This is Central Time. Now, for the second time in 12 months, a team of archaeologists extracted an ancient canoe from the bottom of Lake Mendota in Madison. Last week, divers excavated the 15-foot-long dugout white oak that they believe to be around 3,000 years old. Last November, the first canoe they pulled up was even more intact. It dated back to around the year 800. The discoveries made international news and have local archaeologists excited about what else might be hidden down there. Tamara Thompson is a maritime archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society and a diving instructor. She discovered both of the canoes in Lake Mendota. Tamara, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And James Skibo is the Wisconsin State Archaeologist. He's part of the State Archaeology and Maritime Preservation Program at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Jim, good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rob.
Tamara, take us into the discovery of finding this now second ancient canoe.
Oh my goodness. So I was out this spring diving in Lake Mendota when it's clear and beautiful. And I had a student with me named Casey Klaus, and we were putting some time on a new piece of equipment that he had just purchased. And we were just killing time underwater, swimming along the wall off of Shorewood Hills area. And there it was, another dugout canoe poking its nose out of the sand.
Jim, what was your reaction when you got, I think, a note from Tamara saying, hey, guess what?
Yeah, she sent a text, and I didn't believe her because she's kind of a jokester. So we called, and she said, no, I'm not kidding. It's another canoe. So I was quite shocked.
And Tammy, what were the steps between first finding this in the lake and now getting to, I guess, extraction day last week? First of all, like, if I were in the lake and had found something, how would I know I could find it again?
Right. So it was located along a slope, so in 27 feet of water. And so we had to go back and relocate it, staying at the same depth, staying along the wall using natural navigation. And when we found our way back, I took measurements of it and some video and photographs, and we were able to assemble a photogrammetry model of the canoe. I also took some detailed measurements. And then I went back out a couple days later with Jim's support, and we were able to take a small sample of wood, which was sent in for radiocarbon dating, C14 dating. And then from there, everyone got really excited. In fact, we didn't think it was true. We thought there had been a mistake in the test. And so Jim got back on the phone and he called the researcher that had run the date. And he said, no, he swore it was right. He was going to try it again and ran it again for us for free. And we still didn't believe it. So we sent it in a third time for testing. and by gosh, it is 3,000 years old.
Now, Jim, the one from around 800 AD was pretty amazing. Now, 3,000-year-old canoe, what is this telling us about life in South Central Wisconsin three millennia ago?
Yeah, you know, it's we've long thought that dugout canoe making went back to the first humans in Wisconsin. I mean, the Ho-Chunk and Menominee and the other tribal oral histories talk about dugout canoes, and we have dugout canoe or wood making stone tools, but not canoes, but not the real canoes. So finding one that's 1,000 BC was really shocking. I mean, it would be shocking just to find 1,000 BC wood in the water, much less a canoe. So I mean, it's shocking. It blows me away. It's the reason why, you know, we had it dated multiple times, because you know, we don't want to make a mistake about this and proclaim that we have the oldest canoe in the Great Lakes, unless we're quite sure, because it's astounding to me. And it's sort of a micro environmental zone, I think, in this location that creates a situation where the canoes stay buried their entire time until, of course, Tammy finds them.
Right. And Jim, if it hadn't been buried like this under a lake, if it had just been, you know, docked on land or something, it would not have survived 3,000 years. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it wouldn't have survived 300. It probably wouldn't have survived 30. I mean, if it had to be under the sediment on the bottom of the lake where there's no light and no air, and that it's a little preservation chamber. So, you know, we think that it's now we're beginning to think that the canoe started on top of this bench. It's about a a 200 yard bench that goes out that's fairly shallow, and it breaks down quickly to 27 or more feet. And it's likely that the lakes were lower, we're beginning to think, and we're going to study that. And then these canoes were probably cached, and then they were buried, and then they slid underground to the bottom of this wall until they start to erode away.
We're talking to Wisconsin Historical Society archaeologist Jim Skibo and Tamara Thompson about the discovery of a second, even older, ancient canoe in Madison's Lake Mendota. Coming up, how do you bring a really fragile 3,000-year-old canoe from the bottom of the lake to the surface? We'll find out coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about the 3,000-year-old canoe pulled from Lake Mendota in Madison with archaeologist Jim Skibo and Tamara Thompson from the Wisconsin Historical Society. All right, bringing this thing up last Thursday, Tammy, what was that like to be in the water and trying to make sure it got from down there to up here intact?
Well, we spent a few days earlier in the week really preparing this site. We needed to do some hand excavation around it. We decided not to use an airlift dredge this year. We decided it was a little too fragile for that. So we used trowels and hand fanning to get it loose from the bottom. And then from there, we knew that it was fragmentary, so that it was going to come up in pieces. So we took a piece of polycarbonate plastic and put it underneath the bottom of the canoe. And then from there, we lifted, instead of lifting the canoe directly, we lifted from that plastic sheet. And then, you know, it was very nerve-wracking the day of the lift. We had everything in place, ready to go. All we needed to do was go out there. And the most stressful was the weather. We knew that it wouldn't handle much wind or waves. And so we just kept watching until we got closer. And they narrowed down the window that we had to work. And we had everybody in the boat loaded at 6:30 in the morning because we knew we needed to have it up and at the beach at Spring Harbor by 10 o'clock when the wind was predicted to pick up.
And Jim, as you mentioned, this lasted 3,000 years because it was buried under the lake. What were the first steps you took to preserve it now that it was in contact with air?
Well, you know, once we brought it up, we floated it to Shorewood Beach. I should also mention that this was done in collaboration with our tribal partners, mm-hmm. in particular the Ho-Chunk and Bill Quackenbush, who's been very supportive. And when we brought it, and they were out on the lake, the elders and Ho-Chunk folks and other people from the university really were out on the lake while we were pulling it up. And they met us at the shore, and they were given a moment to be with the canoe, and it was sort of a moving, I think, experience. But from there, it went on a police escorted ride across to Madison to the State Archival Preservation Facility. We hosed it off on Thursday afternoon outside, and we discovered that it was in six large pieces and a lot of other small pieces. Unlike the last canoe, which was mostly intact, we got most of the canoe, but it is in some places it was like soft cardboard. So this canoe wasn't long for this world. So we inventoried every piece, and then the next day we scanned it, photographed it, cleaned it, and then lowered it down into the vat. By happy coincidence, the vat that we built for the last canoe was wide enough to accommodate two canoes. So we lucked out, and we're going to start the polyethyl glycol preservation system, which replaces the water in the cellular structure. It'll take about 2 years. When we get to about 40% pig, then we'll send it to Texas A&M for freeze drying. And they promised they can actually do a 2-for-1. It's a deal. a 2-for-1 at Texas A&M.
Now, Tammy, you found two old canoes in Lake Mendota. I don't know. Are you getting greedy now? Are you hoping to spot more things down underwater?
Yeah, I almost don't want to dive there anymore. but yeah, we're actually preparing to do a project this winter over the ice with ground penetrating radar. We're partnering with the Ho-Chunk and hope to get out there to see, if we can see some anomalies with that radar that are in the bottom that may signal where other canoes are located in the same area.
Other canoes, and also the possibility that on that bench we have a buried habitation site that perhaps we can record and protect. I think that's a likely possibility right now.
Wow. And Jim, as you look at these canoes, I know part of archaeology is gleaning everything you can from remaining physical evidence. What kind of things can we learn from looking at how these were made, for example?
Well, you know, these canoes are kind of similar, even though they're almost 2,000 years apart. They're both made of white oak. They're both quite flat, more like a paddleboard than a canoe. They're designed to hold just one or two people and maybe some fish. It wouldn't be, you know, you'd probably kneel or even sit with your legs over the edge if you're on a canoe like this. Tammy and Dr. Cecil Schrader are doing a study of all the dugout canoes in Wisconsin, and they're finding that the older ones tend to be like this. And so no one's ever done a systematic study of these canoes. So not only have no archaeologists actually found dugout canoes before, they've all been found by individuals who live on lakes. And this is the only two. I mean, you know, Tammy's incredible. And we wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for her. So I'm forever grateful. So.
And Tammy, I want to wrap up by asking you, you know, you obviously spend a lot of time on or in or under the water. And now, you know, you're part of this community of people who have been using these lakes for at least 3,000 years. Does it make it different to be out in the lakes knowing that?
Oh yeah. It gives me chills. So some of the connections that we've made with the Ho-Chunk and some of the people that came out for the canoe recovery. It's just incredible to think that, you know, that I live on Lake Mendota and you know, there were people that were living in this footprint and they were so different from, their lives were so different than mine. And they were living here 3,000 years ago.
Tammy, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Jim, thanks for being back with us.
You're welcome. Tammy and I are going to go buy some socks, I think. We're going to get some WPR socks.
Excellent, excellent. They'll keep you warm while you're out there on the water. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been talking to Tamara Thompson, maritime archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society and a diving instructor. She discovered both of the canoes we've been talking about in Lake Mendota. And James Skibo is the Wisconsin State Archaeologist, part of the State Archaeology and Maritime Preservation Program as well at the Wisconsin Historical Society. With us to share more about the discovery of a 3,000-year-old canoe at the bottom of Madison's Lake Mendota, the second ancient canoe found there in the last 12 months. Coming up, protests against Iran's morality police have spread, including wider criticism of the religious dictatorship. We'll find out what's driving the protests and check out the reaction from the U.S. Now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Listener contributions are the largest source of funding at WPR. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including Central Time on the air. Rachel Vasquez joins me now to invite you to make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. And Rob, we've got about 35 minutes left in this hour, making a little bit of slow progress. We need 18 more people to join in. We think we can get there with your help. And thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs that you count on.
Yeah, programs like the one that we just heard. We got to learn about this canoe that was discovered at the bottom of Lake Mendota in Madison. But it wasn't just any canoe. It's a really, really old canoe that's like 3,000 years old. I thought it was such a cool story. It's something that connects us to our history in Wisconsin. And what I loved about it is that you got to hear directly from the people who found it, how surprised they were, how excited they were. Those are the kinds of conversations that you can count on from Central Time. Those are the reason why you tune in every day, and we count on you to make them happen.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you. then make your gift.
And if you want an easy way to do it, we do have an easy way for you. It is called Becoming a Sustainer. It means that you make monthly gifts, whether it's $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount works for you, and you continue month after month, year after year. You can get started right now. It'll feel great when you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's an election year coverage here on Wisconsin Public Radio and online at WPR.org. It keeps you informed of all the latest developments every step of the way.
That's right. And the cool thing about the Ideas Network and Central Time is that we work really hard to take you beyond the soundbite, so you get access to a whole range of perspectives on different issues. This is the kind of in-depth news that's vital and only possible with listener support. That means you. You can cast your vote for Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 16 more people to join in now by the end of the hour. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Well, make sure we have a bright future for the programs that you count on.
And take the chance to show off your support for independent journalism, great journalism like Central Time, and quality entertainment with the new WPR socks. We heard maybe some people who are going to take us up on that offer. Today, only get two pairs of these navy and gold cotton socks when you give $15 a month or more. They've got an Argyle design that features a radio and Wisconsin-themed pattern. The world will know. So your support for Wisconsin Public Radio is essential, and this offer is only available today. So you have to take your chance to do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dane in Superior says, I started listening back when my parents constantly had WPR on. I've been a sustainer now for years and feel it's time to increase my donation. That's fantastic, Dane. How about you? Whether you've been listening, you know, in the car with your parents or when you were a kid, or you just started a couple months ago, we're glad you're out there and we hope you'll help support it for the future. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thanks for your support.